Hey, as you take seats, you're going to want to get your Bibles out. You're going to want to open up to the book of Romans, And it is a delight to be with you this morning. I also want to encourage you to pull out your worship guides because that will be important. We have got a few things that are in your worship guide that I want to share with you and make sure that you are aware of. First off, Crafty Women, which is such a weird name. Like, it does not imply poor character. It just means those that are really into crafts and that kind of thing. Crafty Women, going to be going on. That is in your worship guide. I also want to mention that the Alliance Youth Online Silent Auction, this is the last week. It's going to wrap up next Sunday, and so this is your opportunity to jump in there and, in the love of Christ, outbid your neighbor. This is a great fundraiser for us, and it's super important, and so I just want to really emphasize, please log on. All that information is provided for you, by the way. And of course, Concrete and Cranes, our VBS 2021 is coming, and I'm not entirely sure why, but we are struggling to get enough volunteers for VBS. Now that could be, you know, COVID and post-COVID kind of stuff. It could just be that, you know, so many people have made moves to like Idaho and Texas and all that kind of stuff. I am not totally sure. But the kinds of volunteers that we need are not those that, you know, like lead the music or stand up front or are going to lead games with kids. We need people that can just walk kids from one location to another location. So if you have any moderate like or care for children, like if you hate kids, don't volunteer, but if you like kids at all and you're able to walk, all right, that's all we need. That's it. That's our requirement level. No, seriously, we really need some volunteers for VBS, and it is a huge ministry. We've had to kind of pare it down just a little bit this year to you know, take into consideration where we've been and where we're headed, but we are very much invested and really excited about VBS. So please, please take a look at that announcement and volunteer. Pivot College and Young Adult Group, you're having a welcome barbecue. Really, that's all I need to say. College kids, there's going to be food. Please make sure you get signed up for that. And all the information, again, is in your worship guide. And let's give a big round of applause for all of our graduates. We've got graduates all the way from, you know, fifth and sixth graders moving into junior high, junior highers moving into high school. We've got some high school graduates from our local high schools that are all listed there in your worship guide. And we've got master's degrees and even a doctorate that is honored there. And so all of the graduates, we just want to say a big congratulations. And congratulations to all the parents, by the way, who helped with graduating their kids and all that kind of stuff. And so big moment, a lot of graduations happening in the next couple of weeks, and we just want to honor those that are a part of this church family. Okay, so those are a few of the announcements. Why did I do those at the front end of my sermon? Because I want you to know something. COVID had such a devastating effect on our children's and our youth ministries over this past, you know, 15 months or whatnot. The stuff that we were praying about a few minutes ago, it had such a devastating effect over this past period of time that in many, many ways, we are starting over. We're starting from scratch. We are starting, we literally, when we put out the word that we needed volunteers for kids ministry, when we put out the word that we needed volunteers for VBS, we started with, you know, like two people and then just started building up the team from there. We've got our staff team, obviously, that's working on those things, but we are starting over from scratch, which, and I've told my staff team, we're on a two-year arc right now, because we're starting over again, and we need to look at what our goals are, not think in terms of where we've been, but where we're headed, and that we've got a couple of years to establish the DNA of what we are restarting. But I think it's helpful for us as a church to kind of think in those terms. To think in terms of, hey, we're like a church plant. We're like a church plant that has the advantage of a building and some you know, history and some background and some foundation. But we are very much starting over in a lot of our ministries around here. And so if your expectation is you're going to walk in and see 400 kids and 100 leaders and it's going to be just, you know, VBS like normal, like from a couple of years ago, that's not going to be it at all. It's going to be a little bit different. But I want to invite you to get in with children, with teenagers, with families, right? When a family comes to Long Beach Alliance Church, and some of you are even guests this morning, when a family comes to Long Beach Alliance Church, what are they most concerned about? Yes, they want to hear the Word of God. Yes, they're probably going to check out our church on our website, which, by the way, is brand new and was just updated this last week. Yes, they're going to want to be a part of that part of it. But you know what they want to know? Are my kids taken care of? Are the kids' ministries, do my kids want to be here? Or are they fighting me on Sunday morning? Is there something for my teenagers? Because I can hardly handle them. Can I please hand them off to you for a little bit and just, you know, give me a break, give them a break, and I know they're getting great gospel input. You know what matters to families? That their kids are taken care of. And we're kind of restarting that process right now. And so I want to invite you into that. I want to invite you into planting that. I want to invite you into the process of that. Because sometimes it's very easy to think in old terms, and I want us to think in those new terms as we move forward. That's really important, because even the passage in Scripture that we're taking a look at today from Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse 14, even this passage that we're going to look at is a different way of looking at church. And so I want you to be mindful of that as we move forward into what God has for us from Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14. Would you stand together for the reading of the Word of God? Open your Bibles, stand up, follow along, and hear me. If you don't get anything out of this sermon today other than what is about to be read, then you have gotten the most important thing. I want you to listen to the Word of God. Because as Jesus prayed on the night before he went to the cross, he prayed that the Word of God would make us holy, would make us obedient, would make us pure, and that it would change the whole world. And so listen, not just with your ears, but with your heart. This is Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Let me just pause here. Kids, students, when your parents tell you, I just want to give you a compliment about this and this thing that you're doing, what's going to come next? But I'd like to, here comes the but. This is the parental but right here. But on some points I have written to you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified, made holy, made pure, made clean, made complete by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum. Did I say that? What did I say? Okay. I have fulfilled, I worked so hard at that word, I can't explain to you this last week. I kept saying it. I woke up this morning saying that word. And I can't get it right now. Okay, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, this is from Isaiah 52, those who have never heard, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come, that when I arrive and I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, it's a big chunk. We will not be here until 3, I promise. But I do want to dive in. You know, it's funny. After the Protestant Reformation, the Catholic Church still pretty much controlled all of the churches and all of the lands that were, you know, where the gospel was being preached or where Catholicism had spread to. But Protestant churches began to sprout up. And the Catholic Church would crush them. There were battles and wars, and they fought each other. And you can imagine, like, churches got together and would arm themselves against, other Catholic congregations, and they would fight. Like, this is kind of bizarre to us. But out of that, Protestant churches began to spring up. And truces were made, and they allowed for these Protestant churches. And at first, they wanted the Protestant churches to make sure, they allowed the Protestant churches to be built, but they wanted to make sure they didn't look like Catholic cathedrals. They didn't want them to have great spires going up into the air. They didn't want them to look majestic. They didn't want them to have stained glass or anything that kind of, you know, raised the spirit up to consider the things, the beautiful things of God. And so they said, you have to build your churches in a very, very plain manner. And so most of these people that built their churches they came from very agricultural and agrarian kind of settings. And so what did they know how to build? Barns. And so what would they do for their church? They would simply build another barn. And even to this day, churches are built like barns. That is why it came from the Protestant Reformation. It came in the period that came after that. The architecture was barns. And to this day, if you look at a church and you walk into it and you look around, you're like, yeah, it's a barn. There's a harvest out there in the world, and we're bringing it into the barn, right? But if you told a farmer, I just want you to hang out in your barn. I just want you to make your barn nice. I just want you to set it up for bringing in the harvest, but I don't go outside. It rains out there. It's dirty out there. It's a mess out there. I just want you to have a nice barn. What would any farmer say? Well, that's stupid. Why would I spend my time or all my time working on my barn? I mean, yeah, I got to have a nice barn, but at the same time, I got to be out there planting. I got to be out there getting some harvest, because if I don't do that, there's nothing to bring in. The metaphor is not lost on us, right? There's a life inside of the barn that is significant and important, but there is a life outside of the barn that actually makes this make sense. That actually makes having a barn be reasonable. It shouldn't be lost on us from Luke chapter 12 as well, that God said, don't just keep building bigger, bigger barns. Utilize today what you can do out there in the harvest. Don't spend all your time making a more and more beautiful building. This is what Paul is getting at. He starts with, I myself am satisfied. I think you guys are doing a great job. You've got a nice barn. You can instruct each other. You've got a really good barn. Chances are, for a church like ours here in Long Beach, in the 21st century, we don't have to worry a ton about the content of the teaching inside of the barn. We don't have to worry a ton about our ability to care for people inside of the barn. Could we always be working on things? Absolutely. Do we always have to keep track of those things? For sure. You can't read the pastoral epistles, all those letters to Timothy that he writes. You can't read those and not think stuff inside the barn isn't important. It is important. It's significant. And we spend a lot of time making sure that the stuff that's inside the barn is really great for our family. For our family that comes together. For our family that gathers. But the whole point of having a barn, the whole point of having this church, the whole point of the shape of the church, the whole point of where it comes from, is the life that we live outside of the barn. See, Paul's primary concern is for the mission. He's reminding them, you've got a great barn. You guys are good at instructing one another. You're doing super there in Rome. However, I want to remind you that that's not why we exist. We exist for the harvest. And he pivots and he says, I know that I've written you boldly about some things, and I just want you to know, here's what I celebrate in, that I am a minister of Christ to the Gentiles. And look what he says, in the priestly service. Isn't that interesting? This is very rarely used in the Bible. We don't really think in terms of priesthood a whole lot. What was a priest? A priest was somebody who stood between God and mankind and held the hand of both and brought them, right, together. The priests represented the people to God. The priests represented God to the people. And so when you have a people that do not know God, and you have a person who does know God, where does that person stand? In a priestly position, advocating for God to the people, and going to God and begging Him on behalf of all that God has and all that God gives, begging Him to bring more people into the barn. Paul says, this is my primary concern. This is the mission. He stands between God and mankind, and he calls out to the Gentiles, to the dirty, to the downtrodden, those that are foreigners, that come from other countries, those that the people in Rome thought were ignorant and stupid and foolish, and they called them, what was their nickname for them? They're the barbarians. The barbarians. Have you ever felt like that about another people group? I didn't grow up in a world where I felt that way about, I just looked at a person because of the color of their skin or the country that they were from, and I thought, oh, you're from there. You're a barbarian. I didn't think that way. But that was how they thought in Rome, because they had raised the bar. They had taken all that Greece had offered and they brought it into Italy, and it had come together, and it was just a time of expansive wisdom and the intellect and the conversations that were going on have literally molded Western society clear to this day. Whether we realize it or not, what's happening right there in Italy at this time period sets in motion much of Western civilization through Rome. He stands in the midst of that and says, I am called to the nasty people, to the ragamuffins of this world. I'm calling them to obedience, to fidelity, to faith in Jesus Christ. You do realize that because of his efforts, you sit here right now. It's because of his efforts to reach out to those that were not from a natural Jewish heritage that you sit here today, right now. Those are the ripples. Those are the extension of the harvest as it works its way out. I find in Paul's words here some guidance on who we are supposed to be inside of the barn and how we are supposed to live our life outside of the barn. And it's notable that he advocates right out of the gate for the Gentiles, that he advocates for diversity, that it's not supposed to just be an ethnically, you know, homogenous group of people. It's not just supposed to be Jewish in its content. It's Jewish in its origins. It comes from the Jews, but it flows out to all people. And Paul says, that's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for all of those people, all of those crazies. He even says, right down a little bit later, in verse 24, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. What is he saying to them? I'm just passing through. You are nothing more than a rest stop. I mean, Rome was the center of the world. Can you imagine? This is Saddleback Church. This is Willow Creek. This is the biggest church in the land. He's writing the most influential church that could exist and would have. I mean, what comes out of Rome in the Catholic Church is just, it's an extraordinarily influential moment and influential place. And what does he say to him? You guys have got a great barn. I'm just going to use you as a rest stop. And when I come through, you better have money. We'll get to that later. But when I come through, I just want you to know I'm on my way to who? Well, he had captured it already. Do you remember back in chapter 1? I want you to know, brothers, this is what he writes right at the very beginning of the book. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. Now that would be okay, right? I'm coming to Rome, going to reap a little, going to plant the gospel some more, I'm going to bring more into that barn, that's going to be exciting. I am under obligation both to Greeks, oh, they love the Greeks. They thought, oh, that's awesome. Unto Greeks and also to barbarians. What? That was those dirty Spaniards. That was those people that were up in Germania to the north. Those were those people that were uncivilized and were constantly fighting Rome's incursion into their area. I'm under obligation both to Greeks, who you respect, and to barbarians, who you hate. Both to the wise, who you are, and to the foolish, who you are not. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Why? Because the gospel seeks out diversity. The gospel desires that we have a community that is not homogenous, but is diverse. I love that we live in Southern California, and this takes no convincing. But I want you to know, I just got back from General Council in Nashville. General Council, where our primary partner as a church is the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Fantastic missions organization. I could go on and on. But I just want to show you, I want to show you who you are a part of. I want to show you what inspires. I want to show you what it looks like to be a community of people that live life outside of the barn. And by the way, I am praying that this video works. Here, let's hope. Oh, sound? This would be very hard to lip sync because she's, I think, speaking in an African dialect. Okay, I'm stopping. Hey, can you bring up that video? Okay, we can do that. Note, in chapter 1, the Greeks are an opposite to the barbarians. The wise are an opposite to the foolish. These are the two categories that he's been processing through all the way to the end. So when he says that I'm just stopping to talk to you and that actually I'm headed up to Spain, that would have really kind of settled it for them. They understood the whole purpose of this book. The whole purpose of Romans is to do what? To show the Romans that there is equality in all those who have sinned, and that Christ came for everyone, every single person on the planet. And that when you look at somebody, you don't see them with human eyes. We don't look at them as people of color, of whatever pronoun they use, of sexual orientation, or look at, you know, the place that, I don't know, their nationality. That is not our gig. What do we look for? We look with gospel eyes. And Paul's, this whole book is him convincing the Romans, who were at the height of wisdom and just thought, we got it together. Who does that sound like, by the way? It sounds like the United States of America. Right? I mean, that's the country that we live in. Don't miss that this book is written to the quintessential top of the food chain in that day and age. And in our world, that's our country. So as we listen to these things, it's not a looking down on anybody else because of what we have or what we have to offer. It's a looking up at them with the gospel and drawing them, compelling them to come in to the barn, to be a part of a family that is eternal, not just temporary. How are we doing back there? Okay. Yeah.
Es-tu arraché pour Dieu par ton sang des hommes de toute tribu, de toute langue, de tout peuple et de toutes les nations?
From the beginning to now, our mission is to follow the Bible, never to be changed.
Har ek kul aur log aur bhasha aur jati.
Anan akrayam al yaday alihim.
Ahna mitchawin.
Blue
Dándole bienvenida a familias latinoamericanas huyendo de pandillas y amenazas de muerte.
Chúng tôi có hơn 800 nhà thơ liên minh với nhau trong nước Mỹ.
Nous adorons bon Dieu. Notre 38 langues et patois.
Мы представим надломленному миру надежду и примирение Господи нашим и Спасителю Иисусе Христе.
在神的宝座前敬拜他.
Watu wa kila taifa, ukoo, jamaa na lugha.
Biso toza, tobenga mitozala, bana nzana.
Isu akei noi somos.
And there before me was a great multitude.
A great multitude.
That no one could count.
From every nation.
Every nation.
Tribe, people,
and language.
Standing before the throne.
Before the throne.
And before the Lamb.
And before the Lamb.
And before the Lamb.
Bringing every tribe, tongue, and nation into this barn. And let's never forget it. I know it's been a tough past year and a half. And I don't mean to sound insincere or lacking compassion or empathy. But come on. Let's get past that. And let's get back to who we are supposed to be. Which is a people that are on mission. Which is a people that are living for the purposes that Christ has given to us. And Paul, in the midst of deep respect, I mean, he writes the most brilliant letter of the New Testament to the Romans. Filled with insight and wisdom and depths that I certainly cannot get to. But he does so with the purpose of advocating for barbarians and for lost people and for those that are dirty and cast out by the Greeks, by the Romans, by their culture. We are an alliance of churches gathered together to reach lost people. Not just to build better barns. The best barns are those that advocate for a very diverse harvest. I also see in what the apostle has to say to the Romans and to us that the best barns, the great barns, are ambitious for new harvest fields. This absolutely cracks me up. I put a map, and it's right there in your worship guide so that you can follow along. It's actually so stinking big, you probably can't even read where things are. So I'm going to point out a few things. He makes the point a little bit later in the letter. He says, you know, God has done these things by I'm bringing Gentiles to obedience, right? He's bringing them into fidelity with God by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that Titus 3:5 says transforms and changes our hearts, that brings the wonder of God changing us, healing us, transforming us into our lives, which moves us to word and deed. That what we say and what we do are infidelity to God. So those things work together, going both backwards and forwards. And he says, I look around the world that I'm in. And remember, he's writing this letter from Corinth. Remember, he's right. I mean, that was a long time ago that I mentioned that. But he's writing this letter from Corinth, which is in the southern, kind of the southernmost part of that Grecian area, what we would modern day call the Greece, the area of Greece. So he's writing from the southernmost part down there, and he's writing to Rome, which is in Italy, which looks like the boot that's over there on the left side of your page. And he says, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. No, I'm getting that wrong. Illyricum. Somebody said it. Thank you very much. Illyricum. Finally. Illyricum, which is way up there in the north. From Jerusalem all the way around. He uses a phrase that's like everywhere from here to there. Gospel's been shared. My job is done. There's nothing else to do. I've completely covered all of it. In other words, what? Check. Jesus is there. We need to find new territory. I love that. I love his passion. I love that great barns are constantly seeking where to go and not to go to the easy, safe, established places where everybody is already going, but to go to places where nobody's gone before. I love that even that God, because of the tremendous persecution that goes on in countries around the world, so many people have migrated to the United States. But have you ever driven through parts of town where you drive in and you're like, whoa, I just crossed over a line that I didn't see. Look, all the signs are in Cambodian. I don't even know. I'm not stopping. I don't know any of these people. I don't want to eat any of that food. And I don't know what any of that means. Just keep on going. I love that God has given us mission fields to Cambodia, to a variety of Arabic nations, to the Vietnamese community, to the Hmong community, right here in Long Beach, right here next to and near to Long Beach. Like, we actually can plant missionaries so much closer to home than we used to. I just think that's fantastic. Like, think about it. We've been so concerned about the spread of Islam and the militant spread of Islam and how they're killing Christians and how they're ruining countries and they just are devastating nations. This is especially acute in Africa. Even right now in Nigeria, the movement of the Sunni Muslims down into the southern areas threatens even EWCM's school that we support as a church. Even in the midst of that, people flee, and what do? They're coming to America. They're fleeing into France. They're moving into other countries, and because they eat the same food, because they think in a way that is unique. They move into areas where they're together, where they've got some commonality, where they can support one another, where they can have family and community. God has moved people to our front doorstep. He has moved people into our world. And great barns, barns that really make a difference in this world, are barns that are ambitious for new harvest fields. We will not be satisfied just with ministry in Judea and Samaria. Those were the parts that were closest, the Acts 1:8. Those were the closest to where the disciples were. They wanted to go where? Where no man has gone before. They were like Star Trek motivated. They were going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Paul writes an entire book making a case for two key things. One, all of us are equal in the sight of God. And two, you'd better give me money because I'm coming to witness to the barbarians. That's the whole point. Like, if you want the point of the book of Romans, there's a theological point. We are all equal, which means you need to love those people like they're your own. And I've advocated all these things, and look at what these other churches are giving in Macedonia and Achaia, areas that were not as respected by the Greeks, by the Romans, areas that were not, those are those dirty states over there. Rome is spreading to those areas, but they don't live in the Holy Land over here in Italy, where everything's really nice. All roads lead to what? Right? Rome, right? And all roads lead out of Rome. So they carry culture with them, but they consider themselves as like, hey, we got it going on. We are the place to be. He is making a case with them that none of that is important. That all that matters is that they see themselves accurately and that they love others. And he brings all of it down. Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make contribution for the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. I love that. Does he just kind of go, man, look at how they were really great givers, and you have an opportunity too. He challenges them. He gets up in their grill. He kind of just says, hey, look, these other areas that you don't think so highly of, they did amazing stuff. Look at them. I am going to be coming to you when I've completed this and delivered it, all that I've collected from these amazing churches. I'm leaving for Spain by way of you, and I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing. Don't read that with like he was looking for hugs and holy kisses. You read it in the context of that passage right there. You read it in the context of that paragraph. He goes to great pains to tell them all these different places that are giving money. And then he says, and I'm coming to you, by the way, and I'm stopping over on my way to Spain, and you better bring it. You had better bring the fullness of blessing because they are no different than you. Great barns are not shy to actually compete for the funding for the purposes of the harvest. They're not shy about that. They don't stand there and pretend that it doesn't cost us something, that God has not given this to us so that we could use it for the purposes of the harvest. Our tendency is almost universally to think, if I have more money, what new thing can I get? Almost universally, we think that way. I think the same way. You know what I think when I get extra money? What is it? How can I buy baseball cards? Absolutely right. Probably very frivolous to most of you. Really, really gets me excited. I don't know what it is that gets you excited. Boats, watercraft, a new add-on to your house, a kitchen, whatever. None of those things are bad or wrong. But what I do know is this. This church's giving to the Great Commission Fund, which funds our missionaries around the world, has consistently gone down over the past several years. Our giving to our partners has taken a tremendous hit during COVID. Our giving to Alliance missions, those things that are involved with the partnership and our denomination, have taken a tremendous hit as we have gone through COVID. Your generosity to this church has been extraordinary. But as we have come out of COVID and people suddenly are walking outside and they're like, oh, that microwave that broke 6 months ago, I'm going to go buy new ones. And we just start, you know, we just start living life again as normal. You know what we've seen with the giving at the church? It starts to go down. When you were cooped up in your house and you had nothing else to do with your money, you were really pretty happy to just give it away. However, it's extraordinary. Things have changed. I'm pointing it out to you, not so that I give you some sort of subtle, like, you know, hey, just a reminder, we're doing a barn here. I'm sharing this with you because we are passionate about reaching lost people. Everything we do is to reach lost people. Everything we do in this barn is to reach the lost. Everything that this is about is about ministry that goes on outside of here. We have children's ministries and youth ministries because we want families to really feel like this is a place where their kids are receiving the gospel. We want it to be a place where you receive the gospel. A place where you hear clearly that God loves you and is drawing you into His family. And I have to say, I don't believe that giving to missions and giving to your church and giving to other missionaries, like we support mission. We actually have a family that are here this morning, sitting right behind my wife, the Moads, who we support as well. They are missionaries to Thailand and home right now. And we support them and we support other missionaries. You know what I don't think? That these things, if they compete against each other, it'll lower the bar and people will give less to everything. Because no, you know what I think? I think we will give more. I think we should put these things out in front of everybody and talk about all the different missions that are going on and just say, hey, bring it. Bring everything you got to support these things. We've chosen them carefully. We care about them passionately. And we cannot forget them. We can't just build our barn and think, this is good. Look at our new carpet. It's awesome. Look at those railings. They're beautiful. Nobody's going to fall now. Things are better. No. We're starting from scratch right now. And if we're starting from scratch, then we're starting with the focus on missions. Not just because that's what Paul says, but because this is what the efforts of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the alliance that we are a part of, this is what they have been about long before I was born. Long before any of you were born. This is our DNA. This is who we are. And I got to tell you, I just went to General Council, like I mentioned earlier, in Nashville. And I was so excited about the worship that I got to participate in. I was so excited about so many things. But we ended one of our last business meetings in a very, very frustrating place. We didn't get to everything that we were supposed to. And so it got bumped 2 years to 2023. Like some of those really important conversations that some of you have called me about and said, hey, what's going on with that? We didn't get to it. Oh, man. I walked out of that last meeting and I was with my wife and I was just like, man, I'm ticked. I cannot believe this. The whole reason we came out here was to talk about that stuff. Like, this is why we're here. We're delegates. We're supposed to be representing. I mean, you should have seen the things people wrote on the little app that we all had where we interacted with each other. They were like, my church sent me out here. This cost me money. I took a week off of work. Ah! That night, I sat with along with 3,000 other people as we commissioned 50 new missionaries to places all around the world. Some of them, I had been a part of their ordination process, their confirmation process as pastors and as missionaries. So I knew a couple, I knew a couple of the couples that were on stage. They didn't even, because they're going to restricted access countries, they didn't even use their real names. Like they would use biblical names. They called them Bo and Ruth, you know, Boaz and Ruth, and stuff like that. You know, Abraham and Sarah, here they go. Adam and Eve, there they went. You know, this kind of thing. And they all had masks because they're protecting themselves. They don't want to be on video. They don't want to be in print. They don't want to, you know, expose what they're doing to countries that are very hostile towards the gospel. So it's all, you know, it's public, but it's secret. It's private, even though I know people that are on that stage and I know who they really are. This is what we are about. We are about the harvest. And without the harvest, this doesn't make sense. Do you have that other video? Okay, I apologize because we're supposed to get out right now. But you've got to see this. You just got to see this. I'm bleeding to have you see this. So go for it. This is Council 2021. I hope.
Sacred. Sacred. When the Almighty interacts with us.
For I am with.
When the divine encounters the human and the human encounter the divine, what do you call that? It's
be not dismayed.
It's sacred. It's more than a theme, it's a prayer, it's a passion, it's a cry.
For I am thy God.
I invite you to join in raising a hallelujah to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands.
Yeah, I will hear.
Christ didn't call us first to accomplish. He calls us to abide. The open invitation of Jesus to every single one of us is come be with me so you can become like
me. If you did come into this week tired and you're feeling that deep weariness,
well, maybe feeling like I am unseen, I am unwanted,
will you just come to me?
Jesus is saying, I am not only able, but I am willing.
We are His, and whatever is His is holy.
Whether your soul is tired and the call is but a faint echo, or your heart is on fire and the call is as loud as it was from day one, God sees you. He continues to call you today.
How is it that you need to use this time to re-encounter the King?
What do you want Jesus to do for you tonight?
Together, we're the church, the dwelling place of God. And in case you are missing how amazing this is, Paul says it plainly. This is sacred. God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple.
The sacred is in fact the intersection of the cosmic with the earthly, the transcendent with the temporal, the extraordinary with the ordinary. It is what we yearn for as we follow Jesus in this world.
God, who authors our stories and inspires our missions, is the one who's writing all the scripts. And it's up to us at that point, whether the change is fast or slow, just to keep saying yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is how we become the incarnated people of God in our neighborhoods, because it's the love of Jesus that transforms us, strengthens us, sustains us, fills us with all the fullness of God, and orients us towards others and compels us to give ourselves away no matter what the cost.
This is a good song for us to pray over the movement that we find ourselves in, over our communities, over our churches. Over our hearts.
You plant, you water, take heart. Take heart. The Master knows the reward is on the way.
In December, we had the single largest giving day to Alliance Missions in Alliance history in the middle of COVID. December then turned out to be the largest giving month in our 130-year history.
So enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? Because the Lord is good, and his truth endures to all generations.
She was screaming and screaming, and she said, the pain is gone. The pain is gone.
God began to lay on my heart the idea of starting a new house church. There was 18 of us from 9 different countries and 10 different languages spoken among us.
This is an unreached people group reaching another unreached people group.
There were dozens and dozens of conversions in a series of villages, and all of it took place in a short week. What Satan intended as a kill shot for the progress of the gospel has turned out for the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
If all I have is what I find in here, I'm in trouble. And I want to announce to America, yes, officially you are in trouble. If all you have is what you find in yourself. But those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ have a completely different message. To keep going to those places that are the next people that need to hear.